Good morning. Our study today in Hebrews part 1 is on lesson 4, and this will be chapter 1 again. We're going to continue to study chapter 1 in depth until we can get the full picture of the deity of Christ, of Jesus. So let us begin today's study in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, Father, to humble ourselves before you that you may teach us your precious word. And Father, we know we cannot learn without you, but because you have given us the Holy Spirit, we can learn through your Spirit. And I pray now that we will be filled, we will be controlled by the Holy Spirit and learn of you, Father, that we may glorify your name and share your gospel, your word with those out in the world that are lost. And I give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, we are looking today at the deity of Christ. We're continuing in chapter 1. We studied a little bit last week. So, to review or to bring us up to date, we want to look at Hebrews, the epistle, to remember why it was written. We know that it was written as a letter of exhortation, written to Jewish believers that had endured suffering to a degree, and they were exhorted to endure and to hold fast with confidence to the end. So the writer of Hebrews is encouraging, in exhorting these believers there that he is writing to. It's also written to all believers today. And we have learned that the main character of the book of Hebrews is Jesus, our high priest. And the recipients then of the letter are encouraged to draw near because of his ministry as high priest. And they were also warned about those who don't listen and are not obedient. Those who fall away, they face God's judgment. Now, I want to just give you a list of the deity of Christ. And I'll have to go through this quickly so you won't be able to write it down. But as we go further in our study, you'll be able to take notes and to write the deity of Christ. In the Old Testament, it says, "In these last days, God spoke to us by his Son." This is saying that God spoke to the fathers, Israel, by the prophets. And then God appointed his Son heir of all things. And he made the world through the Son. And then we see that the Son is the radiance shining forth of God's glory. And next we see that Jesus is the exact representation, the imprint, the exact likeness, or full expression of God's nature. Now, next, we see that the Son is seated at the Majesty's right hand. And then the next thing about the deity is that God the Father begot the Son, the firstborn. And in verse 8 of chapter 1, God said that the Son is God. And verse 10 calls the Son Lord. So then, according to Hebrews 1, what did the Son do? First, we see that He made the world and upholds all things, which means the universe. And next, He made purification, cleansing of sins when He went to the cross. And then next, after the resurrection, He went back to the Father and sat down at His right hand. But we have the promise, or He gave the promise to the disciples and all believers that He'll come again in the world and He will rule in righteousness forever. Now, let's look at some of the Old Testament writings and see how that God's deity was given to the Son in the very beginning. Let's look at Genesis 1:26, and I will read this quickly. Genesis 1:26. I hope you have your Bibles that you can follow with me as I read scriptures. And Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So He is saying here, let us. In the beginning was the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So He referred to Himself as more than one at the beginning of time. Now, in Isaiah 6, verse 8, and let's turn there quickly to Isaiah 6, and I will read these verses. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" So again, in the Old Testament, here in the book of Isaiah, He refers to us, to the Trinity, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look in Isaiah 14:7. Excuse me, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So we see how that in the beginning it was told to the prophets, this prophet Isaiah, and he wrote it down that God was going to send His Son, and He would be conceived and born by the virgin. And then let's look at chapter 9 of Isaiah and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So we see in the beginning that when God commissioned Isaiah the prophet, who spoke God's word to Israel, he used the plural to refer to himself and to the Trinity. Now, in Matthew 1, 22 and 23, and let's go quickly to Matthew 1. We're going to do a good bit of scripture in this study, but it's to put us in word to show us of the deity of Jesus, the Son of God, one of the Trinity. Matthew 1, verses 22 and 23, Jesus fulfilled the prophecy that a son named Emmanuel would come from a virgin, 22 through 23. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife. So we go from the Old Testament to the New and see how that it was all fulfilled that was prophesied by the prophets of old. And now then, let's look at John. We're going to look at the New Testament. And we see in the book of John how that God's Son was with him in the beginning, because let's see what the Word says. John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. With God, the Word. And the Word was God. So the Son was in the beginning with the God, and he was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, Jesus, nothing was made that was made. So the Word was with God, it was God, and the Word became flesh. And then let's look at John 8, verse 58. And I'll turn to that quickly. John 8, 58. And Jesus said, "Most assuredly," before I read the scripture, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." And we see that in John 8:58. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So here before Abraham was born, Jesus has said that he was there in the beginning. Now let's look in the Old Testament at Exodus 3, verses 14 and 15. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial to all generations." So, he is also saying in his word that those that refuse to believe, they will die in their sins. Now let's go back to the New Testament and let's look in the book of Colossians 1, 15 through 18. Okay, let me find that in the word. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. And this is what was written by Paul to the Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So here we see in Colossians that Paul wrote that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So you compare that back with one that we're studying, chapter 1 of Hebrews, in verse 3. And that verse says, "And he is the radiance of his glory," God's glory, "and the exact representation of his nature," of God's nature, "and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So he again says in these verses that Jesus, being the creator, as he said in John 1 and Hebrews, says that he is the very image of God himself. Now let's look at Philippians. We want to see again what was written in the New Testament, chapter 2, 5 through 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself to be of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted to him and given him the name which is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So Paul wrote that Jesus existed in the form or in the shape or the nature of God and was made in the likeness of men to be obedient to the point of death on the cross. And then God exalted him to his right hand so that all will bow his name, because he is master. He is Lord and master of all. Now let's look at Jesus as the firstborn. And we need to turn to Colossians 1 and look at that. It's also used in Hebrews 1, 5, and 6. Let's see if I have that scripture written down in Colossians. Yes. He says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So that's what we read previously, that He is the firstborn over all creation. And firstborn means literally firstborn. And the Greek word is protos, which means first, and taito means to bear or bring forth. So since Jesus created all things and has always existed as God, this term cannot refer to Him being born into existence as a human being. The firstborn son is used in the Old Testament as a reference to the son who is over the family when the father dies. And the firstborn son is the one who preeminates in the family. Therefore, Jesus, because He became a man, is the firstborn of God, although He is also God Himself. Now, we just read in Colossians 1:18 that He is firstborn, but let's look at Romans and see what the book of Romans says. Let's look at Romans 1, verses 3 and 4. And this is Paul writing to the Romans. And he says, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So He holds the preeminence of all those raised from the dead. He is the firstborn. He is the first to be raised from the dead. So looking now at Psalm 2, verse 7. And I want to look at that. Psalm 2, verse 7 says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. So this is a text which the author of Hebrews quoted in verse 5 of chapter 1. He says, for which of the angels did He say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Now, as you go on, we're going to see that there are several verses that are quoted in chapter 1 from the scriptures. And I'm not going to have time, I don't think, to read all of these, but I'll try to go over them. So go back now to chapter 1, and we're going to see passages that were written from the scripture that's quoted in this verse chapter of Hebrews. Verse 1, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 5 says, for of which of the angels did He say, you are my son, you're today I've begotten you. That goes back to 2 Samuel 7, 5, 17. So now then look at verse 6 of chapter 1. And when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, let all the angels of the God worship Him. So here, that is quoted from Psalm 97:7. And then he goes on, the writer of Hebrews, to quote verse 8 and 9, again from Psalm. And the angel, verse 7, says, and of the angels he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. And the Son says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved, this is verse 9 of chapter 1, righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. This is a song of love from Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7. It's a song directed toward the king. And let's go on now in verses 10 and through 12 of chapter 1. And the Lord in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they all become old like garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment they will all be changed. But you, Jesus, are the same, and your years will not come to the end. And so he quoted here from Psalm 102, verses 24 through 27. This was an introduction that it says it's a prayer of affliction when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord. In other words, it's a cry to the Lord for help. And let us look at verse 13 of chapter 1. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? And this is a quote from Psalm 110, verse 1. And it's a psalm that David wrote long ago when God spoke through David, the prophet, as well as the king. And it's about a kingdom, and all enemies of the king will be conquered. And God said this about Jesus, not the angels. So Peter explained in the book of Acts, looking at Acts 2:32-36, we see that Jesus, Peter explained in the book of Acts, when he wrote to men of Israel in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, God raised Jesus and exalted him. Let's look at that scripture. It's in Acts 2. And quickly, let's go there. I'll get there in just one moment. I had most of these marked, but we're looking at Acts 2:32-36. And then this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. And that's through 36. 34 says, for David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So, here we see in these scriptures, in the old and the new, the deity of Christ and how that he was made high priest. So, now, I want us to maybe just refresh our minds on chapter 1, of what chapter 1 is speaking. First of all, we see it says that God spoke. God, after he spoke in the Old Testament to the fathers by the prophets and in many portions at many times and ways. And then we know that God spoke in the New Testament in these last days to us in and by his Son, who is the Creator, the radiance of his glory, his exact nature. He is seated at the right hand of God, and he is better and more superior than the angels, and he is the firstborn, and he is God. So today we have learned so much from the Old and the New Testament that Jesus is God, that he is equal. He is a part of the Trinity, and that we must believe this. If we don't believe it, then it says in the scripture there is judgment, because you cannot believe in Jesus unless you believe that he is God and that he came to this world, to the earth, and put on flesh through his Son, Jesus, and that Jesus himself is the firstborn, and he is a part of the Trinity. So next week, we're going to continue our study in chapter 1. I guess you may wonder, why are we spending so much time on just one chapter? But it's necessary to spend this time because this is the foundation of the book of Hebrews. It's all about Jesus, and we need to know. And this first chapter tells us so much about his deity, and that's why that we need to spend so much time. So we will end our lesson today in prayer. Heavenly Father, how precious is your word. We just want to dig deeper into your word and bring out the jewels that you have written for us, that we can know Jesus, your Son, as you, Father. Father, just teach us through your Holy Spirit and use us, Father, for your honor and glory. May we share what we learn with those that we come in contact with day by day, and especially those that are lost without Jesus and have never believed. So teach us, Father, and guide us. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.